nature's numbers, and they're talking about the numbers derived from chaos physics. So entropy and fractals are very, very important if you want to get the long shots, if you want to see what's going to really happen in a race. There's a lot more to the mystery of solving, especially long shots, not the obvious horses. You can get the obvious horses with any mainstream technique. You should be able to spot those by just looking. But who wants $6 horses all day? You can't make any money on them. Now, Lady does very, very well, our place horse, in these supplemental readouts. But Secret does just as well or better in some of them. And your favorites, your horses that are the obvious ones by public perception, don't do very well. For instance, just look here. Go down to the bottom of the page. Secret, the winner, was the fourth in total energy. It was in the top four. But it was seventh in the first fraction, second and first, and the second call it was seventh. Now, how many great experts who you've heard lecture will tell you that any horse that's ranked seventh at the second call is not going to win, and look up at the top, six furlongs, is not going to win a sprint? Not true. Not true. Study that. And we said we'd talk about bottom line, betting line. This is very important. A lot of people, because they want to take a shortcut, a lot of you, I think, just go right to bottom line, betting line. A lot of people have what this terrible disease that I've described as top two-itis. The top two horses are Fit and Lady. Well, if they bet Lady to and Fit to win only, they get nothing. Now, if you follow my examples, which we come up to a little later on the power of place, you would at least have Lady to place. Now, because Secret is fourth down on the bottom line betting line, a lot of people say, well, I've never bet any horse fourth down. Don't just look at where they are in order top to bottom. Look at where the arrow is. The first arrow on Secret is projected odds of 3-1. That's the important thing. The second important thing is look over to the left of that, and you'll see it's 16.3. It's a double-digit bottom line horses. Double-digit bottom-line horses win. We hardly ever find a single-digit that wins, and we wouldn't bet it anyway, so what good does it have to do there? It's fourth down, projected at 3-1. Its morning line is 6-1, something you get on the Trackmaster download and nowhere else, or out of the program, of course. It wins, pays 1680. The place horse, 21-20. Question I ask you right now as you look at this race, will you go down to the Secret, or will you ignore it because it's fourth down, even though its projected odds are 3-1 and it pays $16? If you won't go down and look fourth, then you'd better take a look at the betting chart that we show you at the end of this manual, and you better start categorizing where your winners are coming from. Your fourth might be my first, my fourth might be your first, I don't know. Everybody handicaps a little differently, everybody perceives a little differently, regardless of how much instruction we give about which pace line to use, people will deviate. But your line number should never read more than five down. And we've had some that are five. You go back four if there is one intervening race which is not comparable, not by distant surface or whatever. You go back five when there are two intervening races that are not comparable to today's distance, surface, and class. But if you go back more than five, you're in danger of getting the horse in an entirely different condition or form cycle. We did it again on page 18. On page 18, once again, we're trying to show you that you cannot make a determination by just looking at the fractions. Here's a race, which you'll see the winner is Vron, V-R-O-N, pace 1460. Vron ranks third in the first, in the total energy, third in the first fraction, sixth on the second fraction. I think that's very interesting because we have, since we introduced the second fraction as hidden fraction or turn time, a lot of people, one author in particular, said turn time was ability time. Not true, not true. Turn time is just, it indicates either a move or a failure to make a move in the second fraction. So we have the winner here is sixth on the turn. So anybody who thinks that turn time is ability time will certainly not get this winner. And then he moves up to second in the third fraction. Now we've seen three or four races in a row, haven't we, where the third fraction move was the most important in the race. I put these little rankings down here in pen so that you'd get some index as to how deceptive trying to analyze a race just by looking at fractions or fractional time, how deceiving that can be. Now, Vron only ranks third on total pace. The winner of that particular match, which has nothing to do with the real race, is a horse named Artir. And Juliana, which showed, ranked second on the chart. And I purposely put this out showing you that the actual winner ranks third because it's my effort to get you over the idea of top two-itis. Years and years ago, before everybody purloined, borrowed, or stole, if you wish, the methodology, we used to focus on the rankings of the top two. Because in those days, before everybody adopted some aspect of the methodology and called it their method, the top two were making us enough money, winning enough at sufficient mutuals to make a profit. Well, top two is no longer means the top two anymore. I mean, that's passé. Like my English teacher said, using French terms in English composition is passé. That's a joke. I laughed. Nobody else in the class laughed. So I got out of dumbbell English after 28 semesters. It is passé to think only in terms of top two. It is now de rigueur, if you'll pardon another one of those terms, to accept a horse within the top four in various rankings who will pay the most money. So this horse ranks a total of third and pays a total of $1,460 to win. But, and I urge you, before you say this horse ranks third or fourth, I urge you to look at the compounded ratings, which is the essence of this tape. Long shot potential, the horse ranks number one. So when we used to talk about top two, we talked about top two in three factors, early pace, sustained pace, and factor W, later adding factor X. So we're now using much more to analyze a race, more corollaries. The horse ranks number one on long shot potential. The horse ranks number one on late pace rating. The horse ranks number one on factor X. Number one on factor X. Number two on entropy. Number two on total speed. Number one on total pace potential. With a supplemental composite ranks number one and is one on fractals 1, 2, and 3. So don't just go by old rankings as to whether it's in the top two or top one or whatever. It ranks number one on some very significant rankings. Use your supplemental and your primary corollaries. Understand the importance of compounded ratings. That's all I ask. If you do that, my friends, you will be a consistent winner and you will get those higher priced mutuals. But stop thinking in terms of yesterday, early pace, sustained pace, factor W, or average pace as one author called it. It's not average pace. Let's go now to a readout that a lot of you do like, but misuse, some of you, and a lot of other people just go past because they're in a hurry to get to the betting window or somewhere. The energy generator, what does it tell us? Well, here's a race
that was incidentally moved to the dirt. It's that same race. That you'll see on page 16 when you get around to it. But the energy generator tells you the speed rating and the total energy. And then the hidden factor X, percent median, which a lot of people used to use percent median, is they put too much importance on it. We do know there are certain parameters of percent median that do not win, top and bottom. Early pace rating. Now here's the one thing on the energy generator that you can immediately detect and use. And that is the early pace rating and the late pace potential. EEP does not mean early pace rating, it means early energy potential. The potential of that horse to run early. LEP means late energy potential, the potential of that horse to run late. TPP is the average of the two put together. And then comes balance. Now you get balance in five different readouts on synthesis. Balance has become increasingly important. Not just from our standpoint, not from Shane's and my handicapping and the handicapping of those that we monitor on a daily basis, but all across North America, Canada, the United States, balance of 8 is just about tops. Anything over 8 seldom wins. Now that does not apply to place and show, but anything over a balance of 8 almost never wins. I think in the last 300 races we've had 4 that were over 8 reported by clients. So when your balance is low, and I don't mean that the low balance, don't say that the lowest balance is obviously going to win. A low balance. In this case, if you look on the next page, Tour won the race. And I'm referring now to the second set. The top set referred to the last race we just did, Verone being the winner. Verone had a balance of 4, which just happened to be the low balance of the contenders. So that was all there on the energy generator. The first readout you see, if you wish. First one on the menu. But then this next one, this was sent by a client. I'm rather proud of him. So we put the race in. Tour wins this race. Now, Tour did have a balance of 8. When you look at all the horses to begin with, now this is where people make a mistake. They put in every horse in the race and they fail to use the most productive thing we have in this program, which is the hide feature. Hey, if you keep 9, 10, 12 horses in a race, and a horse ranks 12, people say, I like to look at them all. Look at them for what? Horse ranks 8th, 9th, 7th, 6th, are you going to bet it? No. In fact, too many people have trouble betting beyond their top 2, so how in the devil are they going to be able to make a decision when they look at 12, or 10, or 8, or 7? Well, it turns out that 3 of these horses, that was a turf race initially but was moved to dirt, 3 of these horses were in a tandem with the ultimate winner and were scratched. Now, see where it says scratched on the left, SCR? Now go over to the right. Who did we eliminate? Who is out? Here's a horse with a balance of 14. He doesn't have anything going for him. His best rating is 6 or 5. Out. The next horse with a balance of 20 and a lot of X's and a lot of horrible readouts, out. The next with a balance of 12, out. But look at the other readouts that support the out. Go down here to Y. Here's 13 balance and best readout he has is 4 and most of them are the 7th, 8th, 9. He's out. Go down here to the Mitchell or whatever, how do you pronounce it? Balance of 15. Get rid of it. Look at its other readouts. Now we've got the race down. By using the hide, we've got it down to a manageable number of contenders. The computer tells you the others are not contenders. If one of them happens to win, so what? You aren't going to bet it anyway. So they'll bite you once in a while. But we can't win them all. But if we use the hide,
Use it correctly. Get rid of everything. I get them down to four, but some of you might want to keep five, even six, especially if you're looking for place horses. Now we've got it down to five horses. What is the balance now? Beloved, who showed, has a balance of nine. The winner, Tour, has a balance of five. Y is eight. It doesn't do anything. The best balance is Disap, balance of three. It does nothing. The place horse has a balance of five, and it has top factor X, third best total energy, second best hidden energy, third best early. The winner, and you're going to be surprised that a horse could rank like this, the winner, just using the energy generator, total second, third on hidden energy, third on factor X, a representative median energy, they were all in the 67% bracket, number one early pace rating, number four late pace rating, and early pace potential and late pace potential, even I sometimes mispronounce those, total pace potential ranked third. Now turn the page, and see what it paid. Ranks third on bottom line betting line with projected odds of 9-5, morning line 20-1, and it pays $58 and some odd cents. 14 to place, 980 to show. This is from Gulfstream. Now, we're going to a little note here at the bottom of this page. This came from a client in San Francisco, Northern California at any rate. It says, please send me the new synthesis. I know it's good. So far, the PL4 is superior to anything I have used in 50 years. Oh, we got a lot of letters like that, but I'm particularly fond of this one because obviously this guy's got to be around 70-something because he's been handicapping for 50 years. Now, you'd think that a person handicapping for 50 years would have his own subjective prejudices. Oh, I know how to do this. I've been doing this for 50 years, and he'd tell you all the little angles that the great pros tell us. Not this fella. And here's the one time I'm going to show you the pace lines from the racing forum. It's at Bay Meadows, and this man did this race. If you look at these pace lines, if you can see them, there takes my glasses. He never went beyond the top three. It was a turf race, but he didn't care whether he used turf or dirt lines. He would preferred wet or sloppy or muddy dirt lines because they're most close to the turf in the way the horses run. He took three lines for prize fighter. Didn't come out anyway. But generally speaking, if he used the horse at all, he took a comparable line within the last three. Let's look at the horse that won, Salish Bull, on the next page, page 18. Salish Bull, he took the third line back, which if you take the speed rating and variant together, he had a low variant, he had a 90 and an 8, and the other one above it was 86 and 17, so it wouldn't matter which one of those lines he used. They were not turf lines, even though this is a turf race. The man says, you say take the best of the last three. He takes the best of the last three. If the horse has no turf lines, in this case he did it, he won't always do it. Sometimes it's better to stick with turf and dirt. But the man was playing the percentages. He didn't just bet one horse in this race. He bet two horses. So perhaps the other horse he bet had the best rating off of a turf line. But here is how. Here is how it came out on his bottom line, bottom line. We didn't publish any of his other ratings. Salish Bull ranks number one, projected odds of even. It pays $103.30. Did he do something stupendous? Did he do something far out? Did he have any great esoteric innate handicapping things that are not available to all of us? Did he have some mysterious way of looking at the form and detecting something? No. He's been doing it for 50 years, but he knows he wants to win, and he just follows the directions. He
fudges a little bit in that he did not take all the horses off a turf race because they didn't all have turf lines. But he took the best thing he could from the standpoint of that last three lines at a comparable distance when possible. And he got the winner number one. Now, I'd have bet it if he'd come in number five on bottom line betting line. $103 is not one of those flukes that people just talk about on a tape like this or in a manual to impress you. We have had in the last, 2 weeks, Shane? We've had six winners around the country that paid $70 to $100-something. It's not unusual if you follow the directions. Now, if you try to be a great innate perception, subjective, I know all the angles handicappers, you're seldom going to get those kinds of things. Now, this is just a repetition of what we started off with from Sam Wada. But I'd like you to continue to pay attention to what this man says. He's very quiet, but he's very formidable. Now, he likes this early-late chart. Now, we've shown you here's something you can do. Taking all 10 lines for this horse, Dynam, and put it on his early-late chart. You notice that the last three lines were all lean toward the late side. Now, reach over here. Looking at our plus, minus, remember the ESP, visual ESP, early sustained and presser. We also have in that area the plus within an O, and zero pace line. A zero is a line you don't use. A plus with a null shows the horse made some moves. He didn't win. He didn't come in first, second, or third, but he made some moves that indicated he was coming into form. A plus was when the horse came in the top three and did well. Okay, looking across, if you'll take the racing form on the horse you're going to do all 10 lines of, don't do it back to Dynam. Use your own and learn how to do this on your own. The last three lines from the racing form were plus lines. Go back four where the horse runs early. It's a plus within a zero. One where he runs slightly early or slightly late. Five down is a plus within a zero. The next three are zero where he's running on the early side. He did nothing, just ran early, no result. Next to the bottom line where he ran somewhat sustained, a plus line, and the bottom line, a zero line. So you can't just look at the plus minus. You have to look to see how they performed when they were running late and or early, and to the degree of late and early, which is measured by those minus and non-minus numbers. Take a look at the plus, minus, early, late, when a horse is running well, as opposed to when it's running badly, as opposed to when it's coming into form and running certain aspects of it well. It'll tell you so much, and that's the only thing really to profile. All this business of profiling every day, even though we provided programs for it, it's a waste of time unless you're profiling something that will really tell you something. Now, in honor of Sam Wada, who won $20,000 in a handicapping contest here back, what was it, December, January? This is the race he won on. Why this is such an important race where you're going to win $18.80 for the winner, I'm sure it must have puzzled somebody if Sam won it. But it didn't puzzle him. First place, two horses were scratched, so you end up with one, two, three, four horses that have any... What are you going to do? It's a five-horse race. In a five-horse race, you get an $18.80 winner. The show horse ranks number one on bottom line betting line. The winner ranks number two. Both of them are projected at even odds. the show horse doesn't pay anything, $2, you know, five horse race. The winner pays $1,880. And who was it who said, what famous authors said, short fields, short price. There's no bragging rights for picking a winner in a short field because you get a short price. Yeah? $18.80. Congratulations to Sam. Maybe seeing this will make you pay some attention to the other things that he has written that we've offered you on this tape. This has been in before, so we can get rid of that. I published this again, this dynamite early late chart, so that you can, I can't do that, it's numbered. So that you can see it again. Sometimes it's better to repeat some things. That's why I'll leave this in. People don't get it the first time. Remember the old advertising slogan, you tell them you told them. First you tell them, then you tell them you told them. Then you tell them you told them you told them. Then you tell them you told them what you told them. Then you tell them what you told them that you told them what you told them what you told them. A little convoluted, but that's an advertising slogan. And that's why every time you see an ad on TV or listen to one on radio or see one in the newspaper, you get a repetition of key phrases. So advertising people, all of whom are guided by psychologists, know that that's the way to get a point across. In fact, John Watson, who was one of the great behavioral psychologists, in the 1930s, went to work for J. Walter Thompson, made a lot more money than he ever did by pioneering behaviorism, to which Skinner was the great heir, made a lot of money selling cigarettes. He was the one who put Lucky Strike over the top and probably responsible for all the children smoking today that they're going to outlaw. But it was a psychologist, so good or bad, the psychologists are the ones who came up with all this stuff about tell them you told them, tell them you told them, and tell them, and tell them, and tell them. So it doesn't hurt to have repetition. Next subject, review now what we've been over. We've been over the primary and secondary corollaries and the importance of looking at all of those corollaries, making your decision not just on top two items or where they rank on bottom line betting line as long as they're in the top four. Looking at all your corollaries, they will rank much better than top four, fourth, third, if they have lots of ones in their supplemental corollaries, and they're going to pay the right price. Now, I want to emphasize that. If a horse isn't going to pay a good price, you don't have to worry about all those supplemental corollaries supporting your bet. I mean, if you're going to pay $6, take the $6 or pass that horse, pass the race, go for somebody else. Utilization, full utilization of corollaries is based on there being some value and you're paying that attention to those. Pay some attention. You don't have to get to the window that fast that you can't look at a few more numbers to make your decision. Haste makes waste, believe me. I wish I'd invented that, but I didn't. But haste does make waste in handicap. Look at a few more numbers. Analyze them. And if you can't analyze them, I can't analyze. I don't have any analytical ability. Get some. How do you get an ability to do something? By practice. Hey, how did the violinist get to Carnegie Hall? He practiced, practiced, practiced. You cannot overcome problems and handicap without practicing. You've got to do it. You can't just say, I don't understand, and then make the phone call. I don't understand what you mean. Learn to understand by practicing. Okay, that lecture's over. Now let's get to the power of play. Starts on page 23. We've already been through that great axiom, you make more money in the long run if you just bet to win. Okay, what I'm talking about in the power to place is not ascertaining the horse that will just place and show. I'm talking about win horses, horses that have the qualifications you're looking for winners, who just happen to not win, but do place. And this happens an awful lot. If you have a long shot winner, a horse that's going to pay double digit mutual, you should be backing it to place. Some people back it with three times the win bet, some with two, some with one and a half. But you should have some more money on the horse to